All right. Let's stand up for a minute. Hallelujah. Father, we asking you, Lord, that you would just open up the mind of our understanding like never before to your word. God, that you would just cause us to understand what you're trying to say to our people. God, that you would just lead us and direct us, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would break all the yokes of bondage. There's been an attack of the enemy to the mind of your people. The enemy has attacked people's minds, and I come against it in the name of Jesus. God, that you would just cause deliverance in the hearts and lives of your people, Father, that we could just hear your word and follow the leadership of your word and begin to follow the pattern that Jesus has laid before us, that we could be your children in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can sit down. This morning, about 5:24, I got up and it's kind of just sitting there and just thinking about who God is. And getting ready for tonight and just wondering, you know, what can we do? What can we say? And I sat there and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I only want to say what you once said. I only want to do what you want done. And I can tell you that there's a lot of people that turned the deaf ear to God's spirit tonight. And I want to talk about, you know, it's easy to get up and talk about the church in general. But this is what the Lord said. I was supposed to work this morning. And to be honest with you, when I called my wife last night, I said, hey, I'll be home about midday. At the time, I didn't understand fully why God wouldn't let me leave. But there was nobody around. I was in the house all alone for several hours. The Lord just began to lay things upon my heart. You know, sometimes we say things that God shows us and we speak a word that God gives. And we do it as the church in general. Like the church worldwide. But I'm talking about Faith Temple tonight. And I said, Lord, what do you have? What's going on? And I wasn't there but about 30 minutes. And I found myself repenting. And I was probably there about 3 hours before I left the house. And but on my way home, I began to think about standing there. I just walked around and I stood there and I just began to repent. But on the way home, this is what the Lord said. He said the leadership of Faith Temple Church can repent every day. But just because you repent, it's not going to help everybody in need of repentance. See, it's a personal, one-on-one. Listen, my mediator is not my pastor. My mediator is not the other guys that shares this pulpit with me. My mediator is Jesus. And until we fully come to a full understanding that it's only in Jesus. Because listen, if you're looking for me to make a mistake, you probably won't have to look hard and you won't have to look long. But that's the problem with Faith Temple Church. This church, you're recording this? We need to make sure everybody that's not here gets a copy of this CD. Because this church, if we don't take our eyes off of man and come to a realization that Jesus is our mediator, we're in trouble. Let me tell you what the Lord said. The title of this message is, you're going to get better, bitter, better, or worse. And let me tell you something. You don't want the first one, and you don't want the last one. You especially don't want the last one, because if you get worse, you're going to lose out in everything that God has for you. And this is the other thing that God... I sat down at that table. And the Spirit of the Lord said, if you're not going to speak what I tell you to speak, don't even go home. If you're not going to speak what I laid on your heart to speak in the truth of my word, don't even go back. Because there's a lot of people. And listen to me. They're in a bad way. Do you know what, Pastor? It didn't come without warning. It didn't come without warning. I was reminded of the series Brother Josh preached about the armor of God. You know why people's in the shape they're in? Because I asked the Lord this morning, I said, God, what is it? I need to know. Just show me, what is it? He said, people's been walking around without the helmet. What he said in the series, it was one of the most important parts of God's armor because it protects the head. And an enemy came in. And he hit some people in the head. And they're walking around with a concussion that only God can heal. I said, only God can heal it. And I said, I asked the Lord this. I said, Lord, how bad is it? He said, it's so bad. I want you to hear me. And if you know somebody that's not here, you share with them what was said. He said, it's so bad that some, the wife would say something, and a husband at one point used to defend God. Or the husband would say something, at one point the wife would defend God. Now they're both been hit in the head, and they both walking around with a concussion, and they're looking for somebody to blame. But the fact of the matter is, it's not about me. It's not about the leaders of this church. It's about who God is. Because if you want to look for a reason, people's looking for an excuse, and they're looking for somebody to blame. You don't have to look long to have somebody to blame. You know what God's trying to do? He's trying to cause a spirit of repentance to hit this church like never before. I'm talking about a repentant spirit that lives are going to be completely changed. But we've been walking around crippled because we failed to put the helmet of salvation on. The thing that protects the enemy from attacking our mind. We just walk around thinking, well, we don't need that. I got this. And that's why people are in the shape they're in. That's why they can't make up their mind whether or not they're going to serve God. You say, well, where did you get this from? Listen to me. Jesus, when he was going to the garden to pray, before his crucifixion, you know what he had to do? He had to come to a realization, and listen to me. And I don't believe everybody in this church fully understands Jesus is not God. Jesus was man just like you and I are. He hurt. He got tired. He got weary in his journey. And he had to have a relationship with the Father. But we have relationship problems here. You know what's sad? When I can let a man interfere with my relationship with God, something's wrong with me. I shouldn't even allow my wife to interfere with my relationship with God. Because if I do, my life's not right. Something's wrong with me. Do you know what Jesus done? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 that Jesus took his disciples. And he told them, he said, y'all wait here. And he took Simon Peter and Zebedee's two sons. And he took them a little farther. He said, y'all stay here, watch and pray. And he went into the garden alone. Because what had to be done, he knew what had to be done. It had to come by relationship. And he prayed and he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible says that he went back and they were asleep. And he woke them up. He couldn't watch for an hour. I'm not talking about praying for an hour. I'm not talking about watching and being vigilant for an hour. I'm talking about a lifetime till Jesus comes back. If we can't pray for an hour, we're probably going to be in trouble before Jesus comes back. The Bible says he woke him up and he said, I just wanted you to pray for an hour. All I wanted you to do was watch for an hour. But then he went back. And he prayed again. He came back. They were sleeping. Again. So don't tell me that if I don't get a phone call from my pastor every day, I have an excuse. Don't tell me that if somebody from the church don't visit me every day, I have an excuse, because there is none. Said there is no excuse. There's no reason people in Faith Temple Church should be in the shape they're in after all the word we've gotten over the years. It's because the devil came and he attacked our mind and we believed the lie. And if we're not careful, our soul's going to be damned. You think it was easy? You know what the easy thing would have been for me today? Was to pick up my phone and call Brother Josh and say, hey, I can't make it. But the Lord told me this morning at 5:24, he said, boy, you're going to go down there and you're going to speak what I tell you. And if you're not going to do what I tell you to do, just don't go back. You're done. See, sometimes we got to trust God. No, it's not popular. And I can guarantee you that there's some people that's not here tonight. If they listen to this CD, they'd be wishing I'd move to Baton Rouge and never come back. But listen to me. One day I'm going to stand before God because of this service. And I'll not stand before God and him tell me, son, remember that Thursday night when I told you what to speak and you didn't listen? Because I even questioned it. I said, Lord, what if they're not there? He said, speak it. Maybe we should just play this on Facebook. Then I know they'll get it. See, sometimes we got to make our own choice. You know what Jesus done? He made his own decision to follow the leadership of the Father. See, it's easy. Somebody has a good revival going on, we want to kind of copy what they're doing. We want to mimic what they're doing. But oh, we think it's so strange to follow the footsteps of Jesus. It's not strange at all. us. He is our mediator. He is the one between me and my Father that helps keep me straight. And listen, I don't always walk a straight path. But you know what? You got to listen. If people of Faith Temple Church, thank you, Lord, would listen to the Spirit of God like they do the spirit of the enemy, this church, you wouldn't have an empty seat in it. You know why people that you work with is not saved? You know why people that we're related to is not saved? Because of what we do when we're out there. Because of what we say on Facebook. Because of what we say when we're out in the world. Listen, I was reminded again today about August 16th. When I pulled up down Pandora's Lane, just one day after the water went down. Sister Gloria, when I pulled in, the land was as clean as this carpet. What did you think, Pastor, when you pulled up and seen the yards? I pulled down the lane and I'm thinking, okay, why am I here? I thought we could just pull in and go get a cup of coffee, sit down and have some good hot bread. But when I walked to the house and I opened the door, said when I walked in the house and opened the door, furniture was flipped over, refrigerators flipped over, islands with pieces of marble on it that was so heavy it took four of us to move it, it was flipped over. It was a total disaster. And this is what the Lord reminded me of. He said, think about that day. He said, that's the condition the church is in. On the outside, we look like everything's fine. We look at people and we think, oh, we all got it going together. But on the inside, it's a mess. Listen, I walked into houses. I have the pictures on my iPad. Where you go into the bathroom and you go where every place there was a drain, there was sewer. The last thing one of the guys said when he walked out the house, there was 18 inches of sewer just spewing out. And that's what they went back to. But on the outside, it looked like everything was fine. You couldn't tell a house was flooded till people started gutting them. If you drove down the road. But on the inside, it was a mess. But you know what? Think about it. August 16th was when I walked in the first house and it's still not completely rebuilt. Do you know how long it takes God to rebuild us? Once we repent that quick, He does it. Well, we got to want it. Listen to me. And I believe this with all my heart. We've been warned and we've been told. And it might not come with another warning. It might not come with another telling. But we got to learn how to be in a house all alone and be able to grab the Word of God. I said we got to learn how to be in a house all alone and be able to grab the Word of God. Listen, I sat down and I grabbed my phone. The Lord said, no, go to your truck and get that Bible. Go get that Bible. And open it up. Open up your Bible. And read it. Then after I read it, now he said you can listen to it as many times as you want. But I want you to read it the first time. Sometimes we got to be willing to quit doing what we're doing and spend time with God. You know, if we'd spend as much time with God in His Word and seeking His face as we do complaining, this church wouldn't be in a condition it's in. Just yesterday, I'm going down the interstate. I got off on the exit. This guy got right behind me, and you could only go 100 foot, and there was a red light. Like, dude, I don't know where you think we're going. You could drive 100 miles an hour, but you're only going 100 foot, and you got to stop. So we left the red light, and he come around me blowing his horn. Listen, I heard more people complain in Walker, Denham Springs, and Baton Rouge that wasn't flooded than those that has been flooded. Because their whole, everybody's life after that day changed. And they're frustrated. Their patience is totally gone. See, I guess he felt better when he blew the horn at me. And that's what's wrong in this church. People's not doing exactly what we think they should be doing or when they should do it, even though the word's being preached. Listen, if we need somebody to come and grab us by the hand every service, we're in trouble. If you're looking for an excuse, you wouldn't believe the people that told me already, man, I passed you on the road, you didn't even wave. If that's keeping you from serving God, you're in trouble. Told one guy, I said, I've been waving at every white truck down here. It wasn't Pastor either. Because he said, I passed you 3 times, you didn't wave. Said, so you know how many white trucks they got in Plaquemine Parish? So I just started waving at every white truck that passes. But it's little things. It's simple things. But what we do, we get offended by it. And instead of going to our mediator and asking him to help us get it under the blood. Listen, there was blood shed for us. There was life given for us. There's no reason for this church to be in the shape it's in. Jesus done paid the price. God forbid that He asks one of us to give our life. We can't even have a relationship, much less give our life. Listen, you know what the Lord told me? The very first day, so on my way to Baton Rouge, the Lord spoke this to me. He said, I'm sending you there to help rebuild. He said, but the most important thing you can do is let people know it's going to take a relationship with me to get through this. Yeah, they hurting. And their houses need to be rebuilt. But you know what God said? There's some lives that needs to be rebuilt. And that's the most important thing. Is that we could be who God called us to be. And not be ashamed to share Jesus with people. But how can I share something that I don't know if I have it or not? How can I give you a scoop of ice cream if my bucket's empty? See, it's kind of like making homemade ice cream. You don't just walk to the freezer and get it. You got to get the machine right. You got to do the mix right. Then you got to plug it in and put the ice and the salt around it. And it just turns and it turns and it turns and it takes some time. And that's what it seems like everybody don't have, is time. And the sad thing is we got time for everything else, but when it comes to God, we run out of time. But we don't understand why people's in the shape they're in. God help us. God help us. There's no reason. Said there's no reason. There's nobody we can blame. The only person that we can blame is every individual that has believed a lie and allow ourselves to get in that place when we don't have to. You know, if you read this chapter and you get down toward the end, it talks about how they took our Savior. They spit on him. They hit him in the face. They pushed him. They mocked him. And we get our little old feelings hurt and don't want to come back to church just because somebody didn't shake our hand in a service. And we can't figure out why things ain't going right. So you're going to get bitter, better, or worse. And I suggest that we get better. See, that's how gracious and that's how awesome our Father is. He gives us choices. And he tells us the right one to choose. It's how much he cares about us. You know what's the sad thing in closing? There's a lot of people sitting home. And I'm just telling you what I'm feeling by the Spirit. That said this. Well, I'm just not going tonight and I want to see how many of them miss me. You know, it don't matter if I miss you or not. If you got a relationship with God, you're going to be where God wants you to be. It don't matter if I realize that you miss service or not. It's about a relationship with Him. And there ain't nobody in this church should be able to determine whether or not I have a relationship with my Father. Nobody. Say, how serious is this? If my wife decides in the morning she's leaving me, it don't give me no excuse to turn my back on God. If I decide that I'm leaving her, it gives her no excuse to say I'm not going to serve God. Because nothing that anybody could ever do us changes who God is. And if it does, God hadn't been who we say He is. And all we got to do is look at our life, and it's pretty evident. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would just cause your grace to be extended once more. God, that people will come to a realization in their life that if they just repent, if we just turn our lives over to you, God, like never before, and want you more than anything, all these situations, all these problems, God, that we don't get bitter and we don't get worse, but we get better in you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you love us so much. That you care about us so much that you give us word after word after word after word to help preserve our life and keep us where you want us. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father,